Amén. Whoa, man. All right. Now let me ask you a question. How long do you think Adam's eyes stayed open and his jaw dropped? Come on, y'all in church, don't act so sanctified. Come on, talk to me. All right. So, I know you're a little bit shy at first, but we're going to work through this. By the time the service is over, you'll be good and conversating with me. So let's start in the account of creation. All right, let's go. All right, let's do it.
This is the account.
And I'll stop you at a certain point, okay? All right, that's good. You can go now.
Of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground.
You want to stop there for a minute? I always tell the people, anyone who's gone through marriage counseling with me or any kind of relationship counseling have seen this. And so today we think that sprinkler systems are a new invention. Well, God had one way before. And so the earth was dry, there was no moisture. So look what God is doing. So He sends up a mist from the earth. And what is his intention for this environment to be? Dry or humid?
Humid.
Humid. So, all right. So this is humidity. Hey, buddy, you good at writing? This is a participational. Sir, anybody good at drawing and writing? Because you can help me out while I'm doing this. Who? Lorena? Are you good? Come, Lorena. All right. Anybody good at artistically drawing? You don't have to be that good. I'm really bad at it, but
yeah,
can I get
is.
A help? Who? Tim. Old buddy, old pal. Come on. You gonna draw for me? Come on, bud. You can do it. We'll work together. That's that. I mean. Give it up for Tim. All right. So Tim, you're right-handed? All right. So here's what I ask you to do. Because we don't have room to write, to draw everything, maybe some things we will write. So in this environment, this is supposed to be a humid environment. So if we can write humidity, somewhere along here anyway. Humidity. All right, so good. So keep going.
The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed.
All right, so can we draw in? This is the earth, so it's a humid environment. Can we draw a little garden in there someplace, Tim? It doesn't have to be too fancy, just a nice garden in there. Yeah. Sweet, sweet, man. Put a big circle around all over, right over here. So this is the garden. Okay. All right, so man is in the garden, right? All right, so keep going. Thanks, Kim. That's good. Man, look at this guy. He's going. He's having fun.
Should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going. That's good.
And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Middle of the garden. Put a really big tree in the middle of the garden. All right, that's right in there. That's good. Keep going.
A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Phison.
Just hang on. So that's good. Thanks, Tim. Okay, that's good, Tim. That's good. So, Tim, we've got water flowing through this garden area. So maybe we can just write water in a small. Probably won't have time to put a river in there, but just water is good. Excellent. All right. We got four rivers. Now, what happens when a river moves in and out? What happens? It cleanses, right? And you know that every life-giving source needs an inflow and an outflow. All right? So keep that in the back of your mind. Continue. Oh, man, look at the river. Sweet. This is great. I love this guy.
It winds through the entire land of Havilah where there is gold.
Okay, just stop there. In this garden environment, God put gold, but Adam and Eve did not have the machinery to extract the gold, but he placed in their environment resources So Tim, can you write resources somewhere in there for me? Okay, keep going.
The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there.
So there's precious stones. Let's say diamonds. Again? All right. So Tim, can you put, here you go. Do you want to come and write? Don't complain unless you're going to be a part of the solution.
He is. He brought you markers.
There's the same. I test all of these out before. I did my homework. I tested these out before I started. Okay? Young guys think they know everything, Jerry. Yeah? All right.
Keep going.
The name of the second river is Aegean. It winds through the entire land of Cush.
All right. Keep going.
The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates.
All right. So stop there for a minute. These rivers that we are talking about in the text are in existence today. You ever heard of the Euphrates River in the Middle East? It's there. So when you go back to the Middle East, archaeologists have never really been able to locate the exact location of where the Garden of Eden was. And so while we know God gives us geographical location, some of us think that it's more so more of a spiritual environment. All right? So we know where the quadrants are, but exact location to say, like, there has been no findings of pots and that you know, in this particular area. But we know the geographical area. Keep going.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden.
All right, stop there. So God made this garden, and Adam is nowhere to be found. So let me ask you a question. So God is the creator, and he's going to take Adam. So Tim, I want you to somewhere, maybe over here, maybe in the corner, we're going to take Adam and put him in the garden. So let's put Adam in the garden. Yeah. Sweet. Give him an afro. Sweet. All right. Thanks, Tim. All right. Excellent. So now, do you think God stayed up in heaven, took Adam by his afro, and just dropped him in the garden? Or do you think God actually went into the garden with Adam? He went into the garden. So if God went into the garden with Adam, God is also in the garden. So Tim, can you put God up there? All right, keep going.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden."
Okay, stop there. All right, so what was Adam's responsibility in the garden? To work it, to take care of it, okay? So Tim, can we find a spot and put gardener or take care? Taking care of, gardener. Taking care of, caretaker, gardener. Okay, that's good. So now God put him in there to take care of the garden. That's his responsibilities. He's got to look after the rivers. He's got to look after the plants. And it's a nice environment. Okay, but now God is going to give him some instructions. Continue reading.
"But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die."
Okay, all right, so God has given Adam his instructions. Can you write them somewhere in here, instructions? All right. Good. Excellent. Continue.
"The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'"
Okay. So God recognized. Hey, what about the animals? Did we read the animals part already?
We did?
I missed it.
No,
okay.
It's coming?
Yeah. Okay.
"Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field and all the birds in the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name."
All right. So, Tim, can you write animals? Someone just write the word animals in there. That'd be good. Okay. We'll get you up here next. All right. Keep going.
"So the man gave the names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found."
All right.
"So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh.
Okay, all right, keep going. So Adam is going to have surgery. All right.
Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man.
All right, so stop there. So Adam is in the garden. God saw that even though he had all the trees, even before the animals, that there was something in man that he should not be alone. God has placed a desire for every human being, Christian or secular, to live in meaningful relationship. All of us, none of us want to live alone. We all want to be in meaningful relationship. God saw that in Adam, and God decided that he was going to bring a partner into his life. And so Adam is in his Eden. This is his domain. And then God brings the woman into the garden, right? Is that what the text says? Okay, so Tim, would you maybe draw beside Adam, Eve right there? Give her blonde hair and blue eyes, Tim, I think. You want one of these? No, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep it live. Sweet. See when you see when you start the stuff, what happens? Okay, all right. So all right, keep going.
Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh.
Thank you, hon. Appreciate it. All right. That's good stuff. Tim, you did an awesome job. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. I wanted to give you some imagery, because a lot of times when we read stuff in the Bible, we just read it, you know, sentence, and we just move on, and sometimes we don't really take time to see how the progressions of things have worked their way through. And so as we deal with, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and his father. Now, right after Adam says, "Whoa, man, this is great," God says, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father, because he saw the excitement in Adam and said, brother should not be alone. He needs a soulmate. Hooked him up with Eve. And it said, for this cause a man shall leave his mother, shall leave his mother and father and be united with his wife. Let me ask you a question. It's a strange sentence, because Adam and Eve didn't have a mother or a father. Right? But for this cause, the desire to be in a meaningful relationship, a man would leave his mother and father's house and find his wife, and the two shall become one. All right. When my wife and I got married, and I promise I will not say anything that will embarrass you, only me, okay? All right, good. When my wife and I got married, I had we got married in June, and I went to Bible college in September, and we had a family, a blended family, and I was in ministry, and I loved the call of God on my life. I loved the church, but Debbie and I were clashing. Right? And most of you know that when a couple is clashing, it's not normally the woman's fault. It's normally the guy's fault, right? I have to crawl into bed with her, not you. So, so I would say something, and I only had one intended meaning. But my intelligent wife would come up with 10 different meanings. So I have to stop and start thinking, who am I going to become like? Am I going to be me, or am I going to be her? So over the years, before I say something, I have to start thinking, now if I say this, what possible meaning can she pull out of it? Just to make sure that whatever I'm saying, it's clear and effective in my communication. Now, all you fellas, if you've ever been in that situation, say amen. Amen. Come on, you liars. Put your hands up. Say amen. I see Curtis being clear up. Well, can't raise that hand too high, you know. You want lunch today. So I thought I'd have a little fun with you today. It'd be a little different, okay? So stay engaged with me. And so I had to figure out, you know, what is it going to take to be an effective husband, to be a good pastor, to be a good father to my children, because even though I had a good father, a great father, no one took the time to tell me what it would require to be a godly husband, a godly father, godly husband. And so I was just struggling to find my way. And so I began to do some digging and to do some research, because I wanted to understand, how is it that I could love pastoral life, love kids, but marriage is a struggle? How many of you know that marriage can be a struggle? All right? It's hard to have a successful marriage. Come on, people, be truthful. All right? Okay, Brian, you and Christina are still on a honeymoon, but hang in there for a little bit. This is not prophetic, but you probably will see some dark days. And it's just part of the maturing process and the developing process of marriage life, as iron sharpens iron and you guys work off the rough edges, because God made us to be distinctively different individuals, but yes, still we have to find somehow to bring our lives together and make it work. So, as I was going through my issues, I began to say to myself, okay, whose responsibility is it to find a way to make this thing work? Now, you have to understand, I'm coming from a Caribbean background, and Caribbean men, most of the ones that I grew up with, it's my way or the highway. Okay? And Joseph, you said that so loud. It's my way or the highway. And there's some cultural things. And it doesn't matter what island you're from. And they're not only subject to the Caribbean island, they're subject to all across the world. I know some men who grew up here. And same thing, it's my way or the highway. You don't like it, get out, you know. And but that's not a healthy way to have a good relationship. And so I wanted to figure out whose responsibility it is to be responsible to develop a healthy relationship with each other. So primarily for you young folks, this is what I want to talk to you about. If you're planning on dating, so Christopher and Timothy and all you young folks, if you're planning on dating, first of all, you need to be in an environment where you have secured your own Eden. We live in a day and age today where the guys want all the benefits of Eden, but he doesn't have an Eden to bring his Eve into. All right? So if you want the blessings of Eden, you have to meet the responsibility of providing an environment for that beautiful young lady. You hearing me, young men? All right? So if you are not ready for the responsibilities, don't be trying to enjoy the benefits. Come on, folks. And I'm talking to the young people, but some of you gray-haired folks, this is applicable too. If you don't want the responsibility of Eden, don't be trying to enjoy the benefits of it. And so I want to say to you young folks, as I look at what it will take to have a healthy relationship, it requires a man, number one, who desires to be in God's presence. If you do not desire to be in God's presence, and you try to enjoy all of this without God, you're going to run into a lot of trouble. How many of you ladies date men who say they're Christians, but they don't really worship God? They couldn't tell you their favorite scripture or the last time they read a Bible verse. Okay? But the desires is for them to have a beautiful girl, but they don't have anything to do with God. So I want to encourage all of you men that if you want to have a beautiful relationship, the first thing you have to do is delight yourself in the presence of God. This is what God put into Adam. Every man has this in his DNA. Because when he gets into trouble, he doesn't call, oh, whoever. He says, oh, God. It's built into his DNA. He can't help himself. And so, not only do you, as a man, need to understand that you got to be in God's presence, but you also have to have God's instructions. If you don't have God's instructions, how can you take one of God's daughters or one of your sisters and try to lead her if you don't know where you're going? I'm getting to the ladies. Just hang on. I'm working with the fellas. I'm coming to you, sisters. Don't worry. Don't worry. Take notes. I'm coming. Got to desire to be in God's presence. Got to have God's instructions in his heart. He's got to be able to communicate. Who in this relationship, when God gave the instructions to Adam, where was Eve? She was nowhere around. So in the relationship, who is supposed to be the effective communicator? What do most ladies complain about today? So something went wrong because in God's plan of creation, Adam was supposed to be the effective communicator in the relationship. And you know, if you read the story, when they... What's going on back there, Cheryl? You be careful. Don't listen to Jerry. He's been around for a while, so. Jonathan laughs. So in this environment, my friends, what we see, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick, is that if you want to have an enjoyable relationship and a healthy relationship, number one, you've got to delight yourself into God's presence. You've got to be able to go before God, to pray, to read. If you don't like to be in God's presence, if you don't read your Bible, you don't talk to God only when you have difficulties, your marriage will have tremendous challenges. It will not be successful. You as a man have the responsibility to set the spiritual tone in your household and in your relationships. All right? You got to have the instructions. So when you're dating a young lady and she says, "Why do you like me?" He says, "I delight myself in God's presence and I have God's instructions." It'll melt any woman's heart. Am I not right, ladies? All right? And so even though this is a beautiful environment, with Adam and Eve, there is no baby mama drama issue. There are no stepkids and blended family. It's just the two of them. Okay? But this is a beautiful environment, yet still, there was problems in this beautiful environment. Did you ever stop and think about that? God was in this environment. They had everything that they need. Animals. Adam was looking after the animals and the trees and all that sort of thing. And even though they had this beautiful environment with God, they still went astray. Why? Why? Disobedience, because there's something in man's in DNA to be inquisitive. Now, they were doing fine before the serpent showed up. And then he began to question, now, did God really say this? And that's what the enemy does. He comes in and begins to question, get you start thinking. And just a little bit, now, does God really want you to be 16 and not have any fun? Does God really want you to be 16 and not be sleeping with your girlfriend and doing drugs? Does God really, you know, God is, he's like a joy killer, like, you know, like, and these things come in. And so you've got to be very careful and be very sensitive and be very alert to what the enemy will do, because even in a beautiful environment, if you're not spiritually alert and aware, the enemy will come in. And the enemy did come in. Now let me ask you this. If Adam, as the gardener, fed the animals, gave them water, and let's say he, you know, watered the trees and Eve, would the animals, the trees, or Eve say to Adam, you know, it doesn't matter how much fertilizer or food you give me, I'm just not going to grow. Can they say that? No, they can't say that. So when Adam looks after the animals and the trees, they have to grow. Well, he does the same thing with Eve. When he provides an environment of security, and I want to touch on this next Sunday, so this is part two. Every woman has four basic needs, and next week we're going to talk about those four basic needs. Number one is security, meaningful conversation, emotional affection, and of course the truest form of intimacy, sexual intimacy. That's for next week. So if you want part two, you have to come back. And so we're going to talk about that next week when we come back. But as he provides this environment for them, can they refuse to grow? They cannot refuse to grow. In a safe environment, in a nourishing environment, in a healthy, godly environment, people will grow. So when we look at the church today and we see people not growing, we have to question the environment. What's going on? Why are we not growing? If we are in the presence of God, which we claim as a church, and if we are in His Word, and if we're worshiping Him, why are we not growing? When did Adam and Eve stop growing? When they become disobedient. And so my challenge to you, New Hope, I want you to look at your life to see, are there areas in your life today that you're disobedient to the Lord in? Because you can't grow. Even though you might be in a beautiful environment, we can create the most awesome praise and worship experience for you. I can preach the best word. Holy Spirit can come down from heaven and knock you off your feet. But if you as an individual still remains, still chooses to walk in disobedience and not follow the ways of God, even in a beautiful environment, you will have chaos. I'm done. That's it. You can go home. It's 11:45. I'm going to leave that with you. That's it. It's different. I'm not going to hoop. I'm not going to holler. I'm going to leave it at that.